Welcome back to the Divine Office. I just want so much to say these prayers today. Thank you, God, for this season of grace. Now, maybe after our readings and everything, after the office proper, I talk a little bit about the liturgical seasons, because even many Catholics don't really understand why we have liturgical seasons, and especially many separated brothers and sisters can be very confused about liturgical seasons, especially if they don't have liturgical seasons in their tradition. So this is going to be a great time of grace. Let us pray evening prayer this time. But first, let us pray something that is also a good thing to keep in mind. You know, there's different ways you can offer your day to God. We're doing one of them through the Liturgy of the Hours. A very intentional and short way that many people do offer their day to God is through something called a morning offering prayer. Another thing is the Mass. You can offer your day to God at the Mass. So here's one morning offering that I like. Oh my God, I offer you all my intentions of this day for the intentions and for the glory of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. I desire to sanctify every beat of my heart, my every thought, my simplest works, by uniting them to his infinite merits, and I wish to make reparation for my sins by casting them in the furnace of his merciful love. Oh my God, I ask of you for myself and for those dear to me the grace to fulfill perfectly your holy will, to accept for love of you the joys and sorrows of this passing life, so that we may one day be united together in heaven for all of eternity. Amen. Let us begin with the invitatory. Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will proclaim your praise. Come, let us worship the Lord, the King who is to come. Come, let us sing to the Lord and shout with joy to the Rock who saves us. Let us approach him with praise and thanksgiving and sing joyful songs to the Lord. Come, let us worship the Lord, the King who is to come. The Lord is God, the mighty God, the great King over all the gods. He holds in his hands the depths of the earth and the highest mountains as well. He made the sea, it belongs to him, the dry land too, for it was formed by his hands. Come, let us worship the Lord, the King who is to come. Come then, let us bow down and worship, bending the knee before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God and we are his people, the flock he shepherds. Come, let us worship the Lord, the King who is to come. Today, listen to the voice of the Lord. Do not grow stubborn as your fathers did in the wilderness, when at Meribah and Menizah they challenged me and provoked me, although they had seen all of my works. Come, let us worship the Lord, the King who is to come. 40 years I endured that generation. I said, they are a people whose hearts go astray, and they do not know my ways. So I swore in my anger, they shall not enter into my rest. Come, let us worship the Lord, the King who is to come. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Come, let us worship the Lord, the King who is to come. So that was the invitatory. I always like to do morning or evening prayer sometimes because of the intercessions, and because you'll get an additional prayer from the New Testament called the Canticle of Mary for evening prayer, or the Canticle of Zechariah. O loving maker of the stars, believers everlasting light, O Christ, redeemer of us all, with kindness hear our humble prayer. With pity you beheld the fate that death imposed on ages past. You gave the guilty healing grace and saved a weak and fallen world. When evening fell upon the earth, as bridegroom from the bridal room, from honored cloister forth you came, born from the virgin, mother pure. Before your strong and steadfast might, on earth and in heavens above, all knees bend low, all hearts confess submission to your sovereign will. With faith we beg you, Holy Lord, the judge of ages still to come, that in our own time you keep us safe from snares of our deceitful foe. To you, O Christ, most loving King, and to the Father glory be, one with the Spirit Paraclete, from age to age, forevermore. Amen. And then we begin the Psalms in the Psalmody with their antiphons. The Lord looks tenderly on those who are poor. And we pray Psalm 11. In the Lord I have taken my refuge. How can you say to my soul, fly like a bird to its mountain? The Lord looks tenderly on those who are poor. See the wicked bracing their bow. They are fixing their arrows on the string to shoot upright men in the dark. Foundations once destroyed, what can the just do? The Lord looks tenderly on those who are poor. The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord whose throne is in heaven. His eyes look down on the world. His gaze tests mortal men. Lord, the Lord looks tenderly on those who are poor. The Lord tests the just and the wicked. The lover of violence he hates. He sends fire and brimstone on the wicked. He stands a scorching wind as their lot. The Lord looks tenderly on those who are poor. The Lord is just and loves justice. The upright shall see his face. Lord God, you are the searcher of hearts and the rewarder of every good intention. You sent your Son to give us saving grace, and yet there are times when so many people try to destroy the foundations of our society. Some maybe take it to yourself, that middle line to yourself. Maybe someone is shooting arrows at you, trying to destroy the foundation of your life. Maybe something is trying to destroy you, even if it's not an individual person. We pray now for all the suffering members of your church, that they may be firmly established on the rock that is Christ, and find their foundation and strength in him, through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. The Lord looks tenderly on those who are poor. Now we're going to pray Psalm 15 with its antiphon 2. Blessed are the pure of heart, for they shall see God. Psalm 15. Who is worthy to stand in God's presence is the caption. The sentence is, you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, Hebrews 12:22, as kind of an explanation of how we might pray it. Lord, who shall be admitted to your tent and dwell on your holy mountain? He who walks without fault, he who acts with justice and speaks the truth from his heart, he who does not slander with his tongue. Blessed are the pure of heart, for they shall see God. He who does no wrong to his brother, who casts no slur on his neighbor, who holds the godless in disdain, but honors those who fear the Lord. Blessed are the pure of heart, they shall see God, for they shall see God. He who keeps his pledge, come what may, who takes no interest on a loan, and accepts no bribes against the innocent, such a man will stand firm forever. Blessed are the pure of heart, for they shall see God. Heavenly Father, you are a consuming fire. Make us able to live in the brightness of your light. Blessed are the pure of heart, for they shall see God. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Now we take a break from Psalms, and we have a special canticle because this is evening prayer. And this is from Ephesians chapter 1, Paul's letter to the Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 10. And the antiphon is, God chose us in his Son to be his adopted children. Praised be the God and Father of our Lord, Jesus Christ, who has bestowed on us in Christ every spiritual blessing in the heavens. God chose us in him before the world began to be holy and blameless in his sight. He predestined us to be his adopted sons through Jesus Christ. Such was his will and pleasure that all might praise the glorious favor he has bestowed on us in his beloved. In him and through his blood we have been redeemed and our sins forgiven. So immeasurably generous is God's favor to us. God has given us the wisdom to understand fully the mystery, the plan he was pleased to decree in Christ, a plan to be carried out in Christ in the fullness of time, to bring all things into one in him, in the heavens and on earth. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. God shows us in his Son to be his adopted children. Now we're going to have the reading, which I'm going to take my option. You always have the option of substituting the short reading at morning and evening prayer for the longer reading from the Office of Readings or the Mass. And sometimes they'll tell you take a different Mass than the Mass of the day, but always you have the Office of Readings there. So here we have a beautiful reading, or at least a very Advent reading, from the book of the prophet Isaiah. And we're going to read the rest of chapter 1 and the beginning of chapter 2. How she has turned adulterous, the faithful city, so upright. Justice used to lodge within her, but now murderers. Your silver is turned to dross. Your wine is mixed with water. Your princes are rebels and comrades of thieves. Each one of them loves a bribe and looks for gifts. The fatherless they defend not, and the widow's plea does not reach them. Now therefore, says the Lord of armies, the mighty one of Israel, ah, I will take vengeance on my foes and fully repay my enemies. I will turn my hand against you and refine your dross in the furnace, removing all your alloy. I will restore your judges as at first, and your counselors as in the beginning. After that you shall be called City of Justice, Faithful City. Zion shall be redeemed by judgment, and her repentant ones by justice. Rebels and sinners shall together be crushed. Those who desert the Lord shall be consumed. You shall be ashamed of the tenebrates which you desired, and blush on account of the gardens which you chose. You shall become like a tenebrate whose leaves wither, like a garden that has no water. The strong tree shall turn to tinder, and the one who tends it shall become a spark. Both of them shall burn together, and there shall be none to quench them. This is what Isaiah, son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest mountain and raised above the hills. All nations shall stream toward it. Many peoples shall come and say, come, let us climb the Lord's mountain, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may instruct us in his ways, and we may walk in his paths. For from Zion shall go forth instruction, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations, and impose terms on many peoples. They shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. One nation shall not raise the sword against another, nor shall they train for war again. O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. Responsory prayer. Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths. The Messiah, who is called the Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will teach us everything. He will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths. General instruction allows for a short time of reflection, quiet, or homily. In place of that, let us read the second reading from a pastoral letter by St. Charles Borromeo, Bishop, as our homily. Beloved, now is the acceptable time spoken of by the Spirit, the day of salvation, peace and reconciliation, this great season of Advent. This is the time eagerly awaited by the patriarchs and prophets, the time that holy Simeon rejoiced at last to see. This is the season that the Church has always celebrated with special solemnity. We too should always observe it with faith and love, offering praise and thanksgiving to the Father for the mercy and love he has shown us in this mystery, in his infinite love for us. Though we were sinners, he sent his only Son to free us from the tyranny of Satan, to summon us to heaven, to welcome us into the innermost recesses, to show us truth itself, to train us in right conduct, to plant within us the seeds of virtue, to enrich us with the treasures of his grace, and to make us children of God and heirs of eternal life. Each year, as the Church recalls this mystery, she urges us to renew the memory of the great love God has shown us. This holy season teaches us that Christ's coming was not only for the benefit of his contemporaries. His power has still to be communicated to us all. We shall share this power if, through holy faith and the sacraments, we willingly accept the grace Christ earned for us and live by that grace in obedience to Christ. The Church asks us to understand that Christ, who once came in the flesh, is prepared to come again. When we remove all obstacles to his presence, he will come at any hour and moment to dwell spiritually in our hearts, bringing with him the riches of his grace. In her concern for our salvation, our loving Mother, the Church, uses this holy season to teach us through hymns, canticles, and other forms of expression, of voice or ritual, used by the Holy Spirit. She shows us how grateful we should be for so great a blessing and how to gain its benefit. Our hearts should be as much prepared for the coming of Christ as if he were still to come in this world. The same lesson is given us for our imitation by the words and example of the holy men of the Old Testament. Responsory prayer. Sound the trumpets in Zion, summon the nations, call the people together and tell them the good news. Our God and our Savior is coming. Proclaim the good news, let it be heard. Tell it to everyone. Shout it aloud. Our God and our Savior is coming. So that was our kind of liturgy of the word part of the office, where God speaks to us in readings and in reflection. Next, we have that special canticle of Mary that I mentioned with this antiphon. The angel of the Lord brought God's message to Mary, and she conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit. Alleluia. My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, for he has looked with favor on his lowly servant. From this day, all generations will call me blessed. The Almighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. He has mercy on those who fear him in every generation. He has shown the strength of his arm. He has scattered the proud in their conceit. He has cast down the mighty from their thrones and has lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has come to the help of his servant Israel, for he has remembered his promise of mercy, the promise he made to our fathers, to Abraham and his children forever. The angel of the Lord brought God's message to Mary, and she conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit. Alleluia. So this is a really important part, really one of my favorite parts. We cry to the Lord, who will come to bring us salvation. Come, Lord, and save us. Lord Jesus Christ, our God, Savior of all, come swiftly and save us. Lord, by your coming into this world, free us from the sin of the world. You came from the Father, show us the path that leads to him. You were conceived by the Holy Spirit. By your word, renew the same Spirit in our hearts. You became incarnate from the Virgin Mary. Free our bodies from corruption. Lord, be mindful of all men who from the beginning of time have placed their trust in you. Give us unfailing gentleness at all times toward everyone we meet. Come to create a new earth for us where there may be justice and peace. Guard us from all harm today, that your glory fill us with joy. And we offer this office in a particular way today for Father Rob Galea as he goes out to do more apostolate and activity for all of his needs and intentions. And of course, for any personal intentions that may be particularly on your heart, we pray for all these prayers saying, Come, Lord, and save us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Lord our God, help us to prepare for the coming of Christ your Son. May he find us waiting, eager and joyful prayer. We ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. Again, if you are interested in the private prayer that I've been taught in catechist school that really helps, that's helped me a lot, I'm currently reading and reflecting on the story of Martha and Mary, and perhaps a few other passages, the parables of prayer, in Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through chapter 11, verses 1 through 13. Now, we talked about liturgical seasons. I briefly introduced Advent, but it's not because we're shaping up and doing things more intensely during Advent, but rather we're called to finally be able to make interior and spiritual sacrifices, and also to do things that we couldn't normally do during Advent. Yes, our will cooperates, but I want to stress that the church has already prayed for an outpouring of grace that comes from Jesus Christ. And that's why we're going to experience things that are hard becoming easy, and we're going to experience so many beautiful inspirations to do things that we normally wouldn't, that the Holy Spirit will give us inspirations to do. So this is going to be such a great season of grace. Even I think this 2024 through 2025 is going to be a year unlike others for us. In the liturgical seasons we have, let us talk about why we have such great gifts after we pray for the Pope's monthly intentions. So the Pope wants people to pray for monthly intentions. I will be honest with you, some of them are kind of like, why? Why would you have all the people focused on that? But others are very, very good. Either way, you can get the church's blessing of some type of prayer of indulgence if you pray these. So that's one of the things people do quite frequently. Our Father, we have to offer just a couple of short prayers. So for December it is, we pray that this jubilee year strengthen our faith, helping us to recognize the risen Christ in our daily lives, and that it may transform us into pilgrims of Christian hope. Well, that's a good one. I like that one. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. So, the liturgical year, its seasons, they are interesting and fun, but they also mean something profound to my spirituality, and I think that they should mean something to you too. But sometimes we lack the integrating principle that we would need to understand them. So it's really good first to understand that the liturgy has something called animinesis, which means that in God's time, he allows us to share in his time, and history is made present for us. So this is what the liturgical year is. It is the ability that the Holy Spirit has to help us share in God's perspective on time. So one teacher told me, it's like the church's living memory. Annually, we walk through Christ's life and celebrate the saints from days gone by, and those same saints can assist us in our eternal future. They're in God's eternal present, and they can assist us with our eternal future. Now, the mystery of Christ, again, walks us through Christ's birth, his death, his ministry, not in that order, but it takes place in the liturgy, because the liturgy has the power to make the past present. So the Church teaches that the Christian liturgy not only recalls the events that have saved us, but actually actualizes them, makes them present. And the Mass, therefore, is the key way that this happens. But let's go back to the cycles of the liturgy seasons, like Advent and Lent and Easter. And how can we possibly explain that? Why wouldn't it be better just to pray about the life of Christ or pray Scripture as the Holy Spirit leads the individual? But these are remarkable times of grace because they're not just individual. They're not just how the Holy Spirit is leading me, but they're patterns in which the Holy Spirit has taught the whole community to walk, to be purified. So we can touch the life of Christ in a way that maybe we can explain the liturgical cycle by using something called the Divine Mercy Devotion. And that's not just a simple devotion, but it's of central importance for me understanding how the liturgy is actually part of spirituality. I think it helps you get right to the heart of this matter. The key idea that I can explain myself and to others easily is that Divine Mercy Private Revelation has a promise of removing all temporal punishment for sin on Divine Mercy Sunday. And you know, we were talking a lot about that. I know it sounds like kind of a bloated legalistic concept at first, but it's deeply biblical. You know, temporal means time-bound, and time-bound comes from the Church Fathers reflecting on Scripture. So they would talk about the eternal punishment of sin, infinite, or the temporal punishment due to things that we've done wrong, that we've repented of, or things that didn't completely cut us off from Christ. So that's what it means. It means finite, time-bound punishment. And Moses experiences this. You know, God forgives him for doing something wrong from his high position, but he's not allowed to enter the promised land. So again, things happen in our lives, maybe not that in particular, but you know, when we sin, sins have consequences. And sometimes our worst temporal punishment is just the consequences or the things that we miss, or the things that happen to us because of our sins. So now it's starting to become something that's more interesting, right? It's not just indulgence certificates and times in purgatory, right? So surely, maybe this is something you've never heard from a Catholic catechist before. In fact, I can pretty much guarantee that you've never heard this even from a priest before. It's a highly original way, maybe of thinking through the liturgical cycle. But hear me out. It's really excellent. The reason why Pope John Paul II put that feast there was because it could unlock the deeper meaning of Easter. It wasn't just because of his personal piety or something like that, or because he liked the Divine Mercy or thought it would be cool, but rather establishing the Divine Mercy Feast on the eighth day of Easter helped us to unlock the deeper meaning of being risen with Christ. And that's really, you know, what the liturgical season is about. So, during this time, the community walks together to be purified from all sin during Lent. And then they walk into a new risen life with Christ. And again, because it's not just one person or one community, but the entire global church praying for this, according to God's inspirations, I'm sure, having put this together over 2,000 years, there can be so many amazing things quite beyond what you or I could pray for that happen. But yes, that's basically what it's about. It's about history becomes present. We sanctify the times of our lives by offering them to God, and we are on mission for God through things like the Lent, spiritual mission, and now we're in Advent, which is the other penitential time. It's not such a strict time of fasting and penance, but still you're expected to be spiritually awake, and that's the theme. Like I said yesterday, I think that that's quite enough just to remember that this making present of history is not a mental activity that the Church engages in. So it's not just kind of a meditation. Rather, it's something that God has already agreed in that the Holy Spirit is going to take us up into his own perspective on time and make us be able to experience in our own time the mysteries of Christ. All right. So that was our little catechesis on the liturgical seasons. I hope you enjoyed it.